This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, there were a lot of significant events in 2017, but one that is certain to carry over into 2018. Is this wave of sexual harassment and assault cases that literally went from coast to coast. We're talking about 100, probably 100 or so men from Hollywood elites to members of Congress that were forced to resign or were fired. Listen to this.
In light of new information about misconduct by Harvey Weinstein that has emerged in the past few days, his employment was terminated effective immediately, a dramatic turn for one of Hollywood's most powerful players.
Those accusations against one of the most powerful actors in Hollywood, Kevin Spacey, overnight the two-time Academy Award winner, releasing a statement acknowledging allegations that he made a sexual advance on a minor decades ago and apologizing.
First of all, I just want to say that this whole thing has been, embarrassing and it's been difficult.
That last one, of course, Al Franken, former senator from Minnesota. You know, should we be surprised by these revelations that suggest improper sexual behavior is rampant in many circles within our society? Joining now is Dr. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University. He is a thoughtful commentator on culture, and he's going to help us dig into this. And then we'll take a look at an aspect of this national discussion that's been missing. Is there redemption and restoration for those who have or are or will be exposed? Carter Conlon, senior pastor of Times Square Church in New York City, will help us crack open the scriptures and see that there is hope for people who have committed adultery or other sexual misdeeds. And let me remind you, check out the website, TonyPerkins.com. If you miss any of this on your way home this afternoon, you can always check it out later. It's archived at TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at TPerkins. And also, let me remind you of this. We're coming up to the end of the year, and this program is made possible by folks like you across the country who are willing to partner with the Family Research Council. And until December 31st, we have a generous donor that will match every gift that you make. So please give us a call or go online to TonyPerkins.com and partner with us to make sure Washington Watch Radio continues. You can give us a call, 800-225-4008. We've got folks standing by, 800-225-4008. All right, in early October, Harvey Weinstein, the Hollywood producer, was fired from his namesake company after multiple women came forward to accuse him of rape and sexual assault. Since that revelation, nearly 100 Hollywood elites to members of Congress have been called out for their sexual misconduct by movements like the hashtag MeToo and others. Again, joining us now to talk about these scandals, Dr. Everett Piper. He's the president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and the author of Not a Daycare, The Devastating Consequences of Abandoning the Truth. And from time to time, you hear him here as a guest host of Washington Watch. Well, Dr. Everett Piper, great to have you again on the program. You recently wrote a column where you said we should not be surprised with the sex scandals.
I did. I actually wrote it for the Washington Times, and I had the privilege of even being on Tucker Carlson's show recently to discuss it. And basically, I titled the piece, Teach Lechery and You're Going to Get Lechers. And my point is this, garbage in, garbage out, ideas have consequences. And we shouldn't be surprised that when our schools across the nation, whether it be elementary, middle schools, or even our universities, teach sexual license rather than sexual morality and responsibility, that we get licentious behavior and men behaving badly. In other words, I'm calling my industry education out and suggesting we need to look ourselves in the eye, look ourselves in the mirror, and recognize and admit that we're complicit in creating this monster.
Well, I mean, this goes back to the curriculum that we have, you know, these comprehensive sex education. I mean, it is this inundation of the over-sexualizing of human beings, I think that in part brings this on.
Yeah. Again, look at what we see. And you've covered story, and I've covered story after story of this. You've got schools like Jay Oklahoma Middle Schools, where they're teaching our 12-year-olds, our middle school boys and girls, how to engage in sexual acts that we didn't even talk about a decade ago, how to engage in anal and oral sex and do so without getting a sexually transmitted disease. We have schools in Edmond, Oklahoma, in their recommended reading list that include literature on rape erotica. We have Cherry Creek in Fox Ridge, Colorado, where there's a portal that takes the student to internet pornography and homosexual erotica. We have Yale and Dartmouth, and we have UCLA and Berkeley that sponsor sex weeks and sex classes that
right.
include guest lecturers who are pornographers. Why are we surprised at this?
Yeah, and in fact, these college campuses like Harvard and others providing what they call safe spaces for those who want to engage in this type of sexual behavior. I mean, BDSM, they have these sex clubs. I mean, this is the institutions of higher learning. It seems like we have, instead of evolving to a higher standard of morality, we are devolving into a much, I mean, a debased culture that now we act as if we're surprised when, you know, people get caught up in these sexual scandals.
Absolutely. We've dumbed down deviancy, and we've coarsened our cultural soul to such an extent that this conversation doesn't even surprise us any longer, and somehow we act shocked when somebody is actually abused by somebody who's exercising their sexual rights and their recreational habits and appetites. And as I said on Tucker Carlson's show, when you move the standard for sexual morality down to consent, basically what you've done is you've suggested there's no objective standard any longer. All you need to do is find a willing accomplice. And what was wrong 5 minutes ago all of a sudden becomes right. And that's where we are in terms of the measure of morality in our culture. Rather than having a time-tested truth, like C.S. Lewis said, a measuring rod outside of those things being measured, we've dumbed down the conversation of sexual morality to nothing but consent and the consensual. And it floats with the individual and floats with culture, and that's dangerous for all. And inordinately, it disadvantages women and children because they're always the victim of this type of appetite, this type of unrestrained sexual appetite within culture.
Well, Dr. Piper, I think that is really at the core of this. When you have a moving target in terms of morality, and this is, to me, this is the product of this relative morality, this the fact that what's okay today may not be okay tomorrow, where when we understand as Christians that there is a set standard of morality, we didn't create it. It was God that created us and the rules that go along with human behavior. And when we stick to that, guess what happens? We actually are safe. But when you jettison that idea of transcendent truth and fixed morality, this is the outcome.
And the outcome is disease, dysfunction. And ironically enough, in the minds of the secular world, I would suggest that the outcome is a loss of freedom, a loss of liberty, because like Chesterton said, and I've said it many times, get rid of big laws, you don't get liberty. You get thousands of little laws that rush in to fill the vacuum. And what do you see in this whole debate with regard to sexual assault right now? The suggestion that we could impose thousands and thousands of restrictions and little laws on culture and solve the problem. We don't need more laws. We need more morality. And if we could just live by 10 simple laws, and like I've said, Jesus narrows it down to 2, we wouldn't be having this conversation. But instead, by abandoning those laws, we get reams upon reams upon reams of little laws that try to suggest how we control people to solve the problem rather than release them to behave in a godly and a righteous way.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us. My guest, Dr. Everett Piper. He is the president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University. I'm not sympathetic for those who have gotten caught up in this scandal, but I think it's the irony here is that they were playing by the rules of the day, so to speak, and the rules changed. and they got caught up in this. And again, I think this is why society is much safer from many aspects, whether you talk about the sexually transmitted diseases, the emotional, but also from a standpoint, you don't have to worry when you operate according to those fixed standards of morality that it's going to change on you. But these guys, you know, many of them, in fact, one of the stories that stuck out to me, which just is so, well, I mean, it just encapsulates this whole thing. It was a producer, a Playboy producer, Brett Ratner, who was actually producing the biography of Hefner. And he, you know, he'd been doing a lot of these Playboy specials, and he got caught up in this these revelations of sexual assault, and he's been accused of misconduct ranging from unwanted sexual advances to sexual assault. And here it is, this culture created in large part by the Hefner live and let live, the sexual promiscuity, the really commodifying women. And here's a guy in the middle of making this gets caught up in it. Should we be surprised?
Absolutely not. It's the schizophrenic nature of what's going on in our secular culture right now. You've got the Playboy culture that just celebrated and granted sainthood to Hugh Hefner upon his death, that's now turning around and being excoriated and essentially crucified for sexual deviancy by those that were offended, who just yesterday were celebrating Hugh Hefner. It's schizophrenic. It makes no sense. Stop and think about Sports Illustrated. We've objectified women on the cover of Sports Illustrated annually for the last 20, 30 years. And now when people are outed as treating women as objects of recreation, we're somehow shocked that this happened. We've been celebrating it in our schools, in our culture, in the media, in the movies, and now we somehow are surprised that the monster we've created is biting us.
So
we can't be surprised.
We've got to stop and go back and look to see what are the causes. I think right now society is focused on the symptoms and not the cause. And I want you to hold on because we're up against a break. We're going to come back with Dr. Everett Piper, and we're going to talk about how do we get to the cause of this, you know, these unwanted sexual advances, sexual assault. Can we fix the problem? We're going to talk about that on the other side of this break. And let me remind you, check out the website, TonyPerkins.com. If you miss any of this on your way home this afternoon, you can always check it out later. It's archived at TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at TPerkins. And also, let me remind you of this. We're coming up to the end of the year, and this program is made possible by folks like you across the country who are willing to partner with the Family Research Council. And until December 31st, we have a generous donor that will match every gift that you make. So please give us a call or go online to TonyPerkins.com and partner with us to make sure Washington Watch Radio continues. You can give us a call, 800-225-4008. We've got folks standing by, 800-225-4008. Don't go away. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Dr. Everett Piper, my guest. We'll be right back. Tony Perkins here with Washington Watch. You know, in all of my years here at the Family Research Council, one of the things that has encouraged me the most about you, our listeners, is your willingness to help advance the things that matter most: faith, family, and freedom. Your support enabled FRC this year to play a major role in the Trump administration's actions to protect religious freedom, as well as rolling back threats to pastors' free speech rights, just to name a couple. But your help is needed for the work ahead as we seek to protect religious freedom in the military and finally and hopefully defund Planned Parenthood. For a limited time, you can participate in our matching grant challenge. If you make a gift right now, it will be doubled. Please stand with FRC at this moment. You can make your gift now by going to TonyPerkins.com or by calling 1-800-225-4008. Again, that's 800-225-4008.
They were both groundbreaking world leaders. They were both shot and nearly killed just 6 weeks apart in 1981. Who were these monumental figures who had so much in common? At the Vatican, in June 1982, Pope John Paul II and President Ronald Reagan confided to one another that they believed that God had spared their lives for a special purpose: to confront and defeat an atheistic and genuinely evil Soviet empire. Paul Kenger's new book, A Pope and a President, John Paul II, Ronald Reagan, and the Extraordinary Untold Story of the 20th Century, explores the two great men's remarkable partnership and how it changed history and the world. Listen to Dr. Kenger as he shares insights based on two decades of declassified documents and interviews that detail the extraordinary story of an extraordinary partnership. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this fascinating talk. Again, that is frc.org/speakers. We've gone from give me liberty or give me death to take care of me, please. What has happened to the American spirit? Our colleges were once bastions of free speech. Now they're bastions of speech codes. Our culture once rewarded independence. Now it rewards victimhood. Parents once taught their kids how to fend for themselves. Now any parent who tries may get a visit from the police. In a talk about his new book, Not a Daycare, Dr. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, takes a hard look at what's happening around the country, including demands for safe spaces and trigger warnings at universities like Yale, Brandeis, and Oberlin, and digs in his heels against the sad and dangerous dumbing down of the American spirit. Dr. Piper has become known for his passionate defense of intellectual freedom, and he challenges the intolerant tolerance of today's academic community. Go to frc.org/speakers to watch. Again, that's frc.org/speakers.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad you are with us. Let me encourage you to check out the website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. And again, coming up to the end of the year, and if you'd like to partner with FRC, anything that you get between now and December 31st will be matched. We've got folks standing by to take your call, 800-225-4008, 800-225-4008, or go to TonyPerkins.com. All right, discussing this issue, sexual assault scandal revelations that have gone coast to coast, starting back in October with Harvey Weinstein, and it's made its way to Capitol Hill. I mean, it's everywhere. And joining me to talk about this is Dr. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, author of Not a Daycare. Now, we, in the first segment, we were talking about we shouldn't be surprised by this because of the what we've been teaching our kids in school, what we've allowed, this relative morality that is ever-changing. How do we go back and go beyond the symptoms, which I think is what the media is focused on right now, and go to the heart of the matter?
Well, again, forgive me for referencing Tucker Carlson more than once on the show, but he asked a similar question. He said, well, Dr. Piper, what do you suggest we start teaching if you have a problem with what we've been teaching? And what I should have said to him is, let's talk about what we should stop doing before we get into what we should start doing. In other words, if you have cancer, you might want to go back and figure out what it is that you were doing that caused the cancer. And often what causes cancer is carcinogens, what you're consuming. So if you have cancer of the heart, mind, and soul, you might want to consider what the ideological carcinogens are that you're consuming. So maybe culture should look at what they've been consuming that has caused this cancer, this social and cultural cancer of sexual deviancy and assault and abuse and the objectification of women. Maybe we should look at the actual consumption habits that we have, the ideas we're teaching our kids in our schools, the ideas that we're consuming via the media, the ideas that are bearing themselves out in our very minute-by-minute basis in the news. Like Richard Weaver said, ideas have consequences. So let's go back and look at the ideas we've been teaching the next generation of leaders. Maybe that's the cause of the cancer. And the solution is, don't put a Band-Aid on it. Stop consuming it.
And I believe, and we're going to talk with Pastor Carter Conlon in the next segment about this, because one of the things I think has been missing, well, a couple of things, but one of the significant things, and I think is such a contrast between the church, Christians, and the world, is that, look, there is no coming back from the world standpoint. These guys are toast. There's no discussion of forgiveness, of redemption, of restoration, and I think that needs to be a part of the conversation. But I also think that this is an opportunity for the church to, cease apologizing, and I don't mean that from a standpoint of apologizing by our silence for transcendent truth and again a moral code that is unchanging.
Exactly. This is an opportunity, and I see it every time you see a vacuum in our culture where the biblical worldview has been expunged from culture, and then a decade or so later, we see the consequences that everyone is suffering, and they're ugly, whether it be physical, whether it be cultural, whether it be career or whatnot. You see the consequences. That's an opportunity for the biblical worldview, the Judeo-Christian worldview, the conservative worldview, to fill the vacuum. This is a wonderful time for us. Like Jim Garlow, my friend, says, what a wonderful time to be alive, because we have the answer. We have the answer for the dignity of the human being, the dignity of the woman, the dignity of the child. The biblical answer is the answer that gives people more freedom rather than less. We can enter into this debate and say, here's the solution. It's not that complicated. You elevate the definition of the human being and give them dignity rather than use them as objects of recreation. And guess what? Everyone enjoys more freedom and liberty as the result.
So, Dr. Piper, practical steps for people listening out there across the country, moms, dads, teachers, business people. How do they put this into action?
Well, now I'm going to go back to being an educator. One of the things I think people need to hear is this. Stop sending your kids off to these institutions that teach this pablum. Stop sending them to schools like Jay, Oklahoma, and Edmond, Oklahoma, and Cherry Creek, and Fox Ridge. Stop sending them to schools that are going to teach them sexual recreation and consensual sex rather than sexual morality and being personally responsible. Choose a school wisely that teaches the higher ideas, the better ideas, the good ideas, the enduring ideas, the immutable ideas of personal responsibility and a biblical ethic.
Well, and we can each do that in our realm of influence. And I think that's the important thing, is we break this down to where we are, not thinking of, well, that's too big of an issue to be able to turn the culture. But we can turn the culture right where we are.
Yes, you can turn the culture by selecting a school wisely, by homeschooling wisely, by selecting a church wisely, by just paying attention to the ideas that drive the organizations that you choose to associate with and that your kids are going to be influenced by. You can't just sit back and naively assume that all will be well.
Right.
Even in Oklahoma, you can't send your kids to middle school without checking the curriculum.
And
be intelligent consumers.
And I would add another aspect for parents in particular, talking to them about where they send their kids, is that they also must, by example, live by this, by God's standard of morality, this never-changing, fixed set of moral values that loves God and loves people and treats people in a way that is honoring to God.
Absolutely. If your kids are being exposed to all of this nonsense hours per day, the only correction is to try to get them out of the nonsense, yes. And that's what I just recommended to you in terms of choosing schools wisely, but also to model before them something that makes sense, that's antithetical to the nonsense, a biblical life, a biblical ethic, an obedient walk before the Lord that your kids see.
Dr. Everett Piper, as always, thanks for being with us. Appreciate you, and have a blessed new year.
Likewise to you, Tony. Thank you.
All right, folks, don't go away. On the other side of the break, Pastor Carter Conlon joins us from Times Square Church. Don't go away. Tony Perkins here with Washington Watch. You know, in all of my years here at the Family Research Council, one of the things that has encouraged me the most about you, our listeners, is your willingness to help advance the things that matter most: faith, family, and freedom. Your support enabled FRC this year to play a major role in the Trump administration's actions to protect religious freedom, as well as rolling back threats to pastors' free speech rights, just to name a couple. But your help is needed for the work ahead as we seek to protect religious freedom in the military and finally and hopefully defund Planned Parenthood. For a limited time, you can participate in our matching grant challenge. If you make a gift right now, it will be doubled. Please stand with FRC at this moment. You can make your gift now by going to TonyPerkins.com or by calling 1-800-225-4008. Again, that's 800-225-4008.
In 2012, a shooting attack took place at Family Research Council's headquarters in Washington, D.C. The gunman confessed to the FBI that he used Southern Poverty Law Center's hate map to choose FRC as a target for violence. The Southern Poverty Law Center, known as SPLC, likes to boast about its mission to destroy the groups it labels as hate groups, groups that include mainstream conservative and Judeo-Christian organizations. SPLC was founded in the 70s to fight groups like the KKK. Not anymore. These days, SPLC has become a tool for the left to label anyone who doesn't agree with them as a hate group. The SPLC uses smear tactics, intimidation, and a knack for fundraising to silence its political opponents. The group has become so successful that they've stashed $69 million in offshore accounts. Be informed on the true nature of SPLC and how they work to silence groups like Family Research Council, Alliance Defending Freedom, American Family Association, and many others. Visit frc.org/SPLC.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us. Let me encourage you again. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. If you happen to miss any of this program, go back. It'll all be archived right there at TonyPerkins.com. And this is actually one of those programs I think you'll want to share with some of your friends, because this is an issue, as I said, it started back in October, Harvey Weinstein, when he was exposed, and then it like dominoes. Now we're over 100 Hollywood types, the politicians, and I don't think we've even hit the zenith yet. A lot of things are being exposed. But one of the aspects that's been missing in this, in all of these, the investigations, the discussions, the news focus on the sexual misconduct cases, is the biblical tenet of confession, redemption, and restoration. I mean, I have felt some sympathy for these people who have been exposed, because they were living by the rules of the day, wrong rules, but they were living by them. They've been exposed, and now there's no discussion of the fact that there's forgiveness, that there's restoration, if they seek it. I mean, it's not automatic. They've got to change their ways, just as we all do, but there is hope in Christ. Grace. We all are recipients of grace, and I think that's a message that's been missing, and certainly one that should be heard. And I wanted to bring in a good friend of mine to have that conversation with us. He is Pastor Carter Conlon. He is a senior pastor of Times Square Church, an interdenominational church in New York City. He joined the pastoral staff there in 1994 at the invitation of the founding pastor, David Wilkerson. He's a great friend. I can't say enough about him, and so glad that he's decided to join us today. Pastor Conlon, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. It's great to be here with you this morning.
You know, many of these people in the news as of late have apologized for their sexual misconduct. But, you know, what is true repentance, and is there forgiveness on the other side of these things?
Oh, well, absolutely. If I may be allowed, I've got certain thoughts on this that I've been sharing here in New York City. There's a scriptural pattern, particularly in the Old Testament, that you see when God is about to judge a nation, being a righteous God, he doesn't judge the nation until he has exposed its bankruptcy at all levels. Why the certain people groups have come to the place where they're, in a sense, they have an opportunity for redemption and they have an opportunity to repent of their ways. But first of all, they have to see what they are. You know, in America, for example, now I came into this country as a Canadian. I've been here now 24 years. I'm now an American citizen. But coming in from the outside, looking in, you become aware of how really sick, may I put it that way, this society has been, but yet lived under the illusion that we are a righteous people mm-hmm. as a nation. And the reality is that we're not. And I believe that God is peeling away the layers of the onion now and showing us really what we are. And there's a scriptural precedent to this. If I might, I'd like to quote a couple of the verses just for you. Would that be all right?
You are absolutely. This is a safe zone for Scripture, so go right ahead.
All right. Well, the prophet Ezekiel was shown of God why the nation of God of that generation was about to be judged. And let me just give you from chapter 22 just a couple of things. He said, "Son of man, will you judge the bloody city? Show her all her abominations." Then he goes on and begins to list it. He says, "You've shed blood. You've defiled yourself with idols. You've caused your days to draw near, and you've come to the end of your years. Therefore, I've made you a reproach to the nations and a mockery to all the countries. In you are men who slander to cause bloodshed. In you they commit lewdness. They take bribes to shed blood. You will defile yourself in the sight of the nations. Then you shall know that I am the Lord." Now, he goes on to say, "Her princes in the midst of her are like wolves tearing the prey to get dishonest gain. Her prophets plastered them with untempered mortar, seeing false visions and divining lies." It speaks of a backslidden religion. "The people of the land have used oppressions, committed robbery, and mistreated the poor and the needy, and wrongfully oppressed the stranger." And then verse 30 is where it all ends. "So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it." Now, here is mercy. God says, "I'm going to show you what you really are as a nation." And he's been doing that in America, from the corruption on Wall Street to the idolatry of sports to the lewdness in our, the incivility in our discourse, in our political system, to the lewdness of our moral behaviors, to the baptism of filth that Hollywood has poured into the homes of this nation. And God has made us a reproach and has pulled back the skirt, as it is, and shown the world what we really are. The question now in my mind is, are we able to admit what we are? And if we are, will we turn back to God? Will we ask for forgiveness and begin to pray? That, Tony, is the question on my heart today.
And we're going to talk about that question on the other side of this break. So, folks, don't go away. Stand by. We're coming back after this with Pastor Carter Conlon to continue our discussion about what's next for America as we've seen this revelation of sexual misconduct. Is there hope for America? Is there hope for those caught up in this? Grace, restoration. We're going to talk about it. Don't go away. We're back with more after this. Tony Perkins here with Washington Watch. You know, in all of my years here at the Family Research Council, one of the things that has encouraged me the most about you, our listeners, is your willingness to help advance the things that matter most: faith, family, and freedom. Your support enabled FRC this year to play a major role in the Trump administration's actions to protect religious freedom, as well as rolling back threats to pastors' free speech rights, just to name a couple. But your help is needed for the work ahead as we seek to protect religious freedom in the military and finally and hopefully defund Planned Parenthood. For a limited time, you can participate in our matching grant challenge. If you make a gift right now, it will be doubled. Please stand with FRC at this moment. You can make your gift now by going to TonyPerkins.com or by calling 1-800-225-4008. Again, that's 800-225-4008. 4008.
They were both groundbreaking world leaders. They were both shot and nearly killed just 6 weeks apart in 1981. Who were these monumental figures who had so much in common? At the Vatican, in June 1982, Pope John Paul II and President Ronald Reagan confided to one another that they believed that God had spared their lives for a special purpose: to confront and defeat an atheistic and genuinely evil Soviet empire. Paul Kenger's new book, A Pope and a President, John Paul II, Ronald Reagan, and the Extraordinary Untold Story of the 20th Century, explores the two great men's remarkable partnership and how it changed history and the world. Listen to Dr. Kenger as he shares insights based on two decades of declassified documents and interviews that detail the extraordinary story of an extraordinary partnership. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this fascinating talk. Again, that is frc.org/speakers. We've gone from give me liberty or give me death to take care of me, please. What has happened to the American spirit? Our colleges were once bastions of free speech. Now they're bastions of speech codes. Our culture once rewarded independence. Now it rewards victimhood. Parents once taught their kids how to fend for themselves. Now, any parent who tries may get a visit from the police. In a talk about his new book, Not a Daycare, Dr. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, takes a hard look at what's happening around the country, including demands for safe spaces and trigger warnings at universities like Yale, Brandeis, and Oberlin, and digs in his heels against the sad and dangerous dumbing down of the American spirit. Dr. Piper has become known for his passionate defense of intellectual freedom, and he challenges the intolerant tolerance of today's academic community. Go to frc.org/speakers to watch. Again, that's frc.org/speakers.
City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Glad to have you with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, my guest, Pastor Carter Conlon, a senior pastor at Times Square Church, an interdenominational church in New York City. He joined the pastoral staff there in 1994 at the invitation of the founding pastor, David Wilkerson. Carter, thanks again for joining us on this. I think it's a very important topic. Now, let's go back to the question that you posed before the break. If we understand the times and if we respond, what must we do as a nation?
Well, I think, you know, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says it all. The pattern of God is the character of God revealed. If my people are called by my name, they'll humble themselves. I believe, Tony, it starts with the believers in Jesus Christ. Do we have the courage to acknowledge the condition of the nation? Do we have the courage to acknowledge that our history has largely been solved, not in every case, thank God for that, but has largely been solved and passed under the foot of men, marginalized? And have we, as the house of God, been guilty of self-seeking and lost the absolute burden of God? But the promise of God, which he said to Ezekiel, for example, I fought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap on behalf of the land. So even though the nation of Israel had come to the place where there didn't seem to be any more opportunity for mercy, God was looking for one more chance, one more opportunity for mercy. And I fully believe in my heart we have that at this moment in our history. We have a short window to turn to him, especially starting in the house of God, and say, Lord, we recognize that we have not been the testimony that we should be, because if we had been truly preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in the fullness of what that gospel is, our nation would not be in the condition it's in today. That is, to me, an argument. It can't be made to the contrary. But your promise to us is that if we would seek your face again and turn from our wicked ways, whatever those ways happen to be that have caused us to not really see clearly the condition of our nation, you promised that you would hear our prayer, forgive our sin, and you would heal our land. So in my heart, I believe the future of the nation now is put one last time into the hands of the Church of Jesus Christ, the whole body of that church. And I find it interesting as well in Ezekiel, he said, I sought for a man who would among them would make a wall. I'm not trying to make light of this moment, but I do believe that with President Trump, God has given us a short window for mercy. I believe that with all my heart. Mm-hmm. And I fear, my friend, what will happen with the darkness that awaits us if we don't take this moment in history that God's given to us.
Let me go back to you. It begins at the house of God. And I just want to expound on that for our listeners, because oftentimes we think, okay, we're thinking of the church. We've got to have pastors stand in the pulpit and talk about this, and we've got to get, you know, we've got to get everything lined up in the church. That really means in our house as believers, as Christians. Yes, the pastors need to preach it, but Christians need to live it. Parents
yes.
need to model this biblical moral integrity, teach it to their children. And I think part of the challenge that we've seen and why we've seen the younger generations deviate from a set standard of biblical values, of transcendent truth, as we call it, is because mm-hmm. they see the discrepancy in their parents. They say one thing, but they do another. And so I think it starts right there in the home.
Yeah, well, I think the grave weakness that has happened to the testimony of Christ in this nation is that we turned inward as the people of God and became self-focused, just as the prophet Haggai once told the people of God who were trying to rebuild the testimony, and they became discouraged, and they just turned inward and started focusing on their own futures, their own lives. And much of the gospel of America has been fashioned in the last 30 years or so to accommodate the self-view that had become dominant in the house of God. So when you have a group of people coming in every Sunday and their whole view is what's in it for me today, they've lost really the mission of God, the purpose of God, the reality of why they're even a testimony, and what the work of God actually is, the redemption of the lost and the discipling of those who are new to Christ. I had two pastors come to me recently from somewhere here in the country where their congregation is over 30,000 members and yet can't get a prayer meeting started. And, you know, they were looking for the methodology. How did you do what you've done in New York? How come you have a full house on prayer night? And I said the same thing that you're saying to me to them. I said, well, what's your prayer life like?
Mm-hmm.
You can't reproduce what you are not.
Right.
Prayer is not a program. Prayer is a passion. And it's a passion for the actual work of God, not just for treading water in the ministry. And I was encouraged that they were at least inquiring and saying, what do we have to do that our people might start to pray? And I basically told them, I said, you have to take a strong look at your theological focus. Is it about self or is it about others? Christ came and lived and died for others. And so in our representation of him, are we living for ourselves or are we truly willing to live for the benefit of others? I said, once you start living for the benefit of others, then prayer becomes a natural expression of your life.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, Pastor Carter Conlon, my guest, pastor of Times Square Church in New York City. I want to focus for just a moment on one of the aspects of this that I've been thinking about is that, as you know, and I've had friends on Capitol Hill that have been caught up in this, and others that I've known, many that I don't know. But part of my concern is that as this is happening in the conversation in the broader public is basically, you know, these folks are put outside the camp, marked forever. There's no discussion of grace, of forgiveness, of restoration, that I think others are going to hide the indiscretions in their own lives rather than coming forward. And as Scripture says, if we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. I think there's an opportunity mm-hmm. for us to come forward and say, you know what, I've done these things, or I'm in this and I need to be out of it. I tell you, a lot of the ones that I've actually dealt with, pornography, is a mm-hmm. is a key door through which many of these are drawn into these sexual misdeeds. And, you know, I think if we will deal with it, God will be merciful, forgive, and eventually restore. And I think that's a message that those out there caught up in these inappropriate lifestyles, sinful lifestyles, need to understand.
I totally agree with you. there is forgiveness in Christ, there's redemption in Christ, there's newness of life in Christ. And I believe the safe place has got to be the house of God. People have to be able to come in and confess their struggle. And, you know, as the Apostle James said, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. They have to be able to come into the midst of God's people and confess their struggle and realize there is redemption and an opportunity for not just a restored future, but a renewed future, something deeper than just restoration. So I totally agree. And I would hope that people who are listening to something like this will understand that if I confess my sin, the scripture says he's faithful and just to forgive my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness, to do a deep work in every life, to take away the fuel source of this behavior. That's one of the promises of our redemption.
So, Pastor Conlon, how does that look for the church? You said the church needs to be a place where people can come in, people who are burdened with these sins and can confess those sins. What does it look like for the church to come alongside those that have been drawn into these things and are living in immorality and coming out of that successfully? What does that look like?
Well, it's right back to where we started. It looks like a people who really understand what our mission is on the earth, who get back to the allowing the heart of Jesus Christ to be expressed through us. We're supposed to be his body, which means the work that he did on the earth and the way that he did it should be continued, in a sense, through us. The compassion of Christ to, you know, the woman caught in adultery, for example, the unwillingness to judge her, to condemn her, to throw stones at her, it has to be ours. And it really comes back to a genuine humility coming back into the heart of God's people, into the house of God, and a willingness to say, Lord, we have not represented you. We have lived in the pride of our own perfection, and we have not really even understood that our own condition without your covering is bankrupt. And so, God, give us the grace, Lord, to walk humbly among men again. Give us the grace, Lord Jesus Christ, to reach out to the addicted, the afflicted, the immoral, the struggling. Give us the grace to do these things. And we're seeing in New York, for example, I mean, we have full altars now pretty near every service. And anything you can even imagine in your mind is at that altar now. And the only thing that we are feeling in our hearts, I speak for myself and some of the people for sure, that is compassion.
Yeah,
these are people who have just gone the way of all flesh, in a sense. If we don't have the restraint of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and the guidance of God's word, we will go back to these. All of us would. And
right.
I think it's that recognition that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God that gives us this compassion to reach out and say, come walk with me. You know, I just think of the prodigal son coming back down the road, and he's just a total mess, and he smells like a field of swine, and yet God runs to him and covers him, cleanses him, and rejoices over him. We've got to get that heart back again in the church, Tony. We have to. It's mandatory now.
But that's where a lot of people, a lot of Christians, struggle, because they confuse, I believe, compassion with affirmation. We cannot affirm people in that sinful state. We know we were there at one point, and by God's grace, and I think the humility that you talked about is so essential that we realize we're only by God's grace am I where that I can lend a hand to pull someone else up or help them up and point the way. It's not because there's anything better in me, but we can't affirm people in that behavior because there's this whole notion of, well, we just got to love people. Well, we love them by pointing them to the truth.
Yes. Absolutely, totally, completely. But when you see, what I've found is that when people know they are loved, they will respond. It's amazing. When they will respond to truth when they know they are loved. Like like I said, what we're experiencing in New York is, you just have to see it now to believe it. But people are coming forward. They're in relationships they shouldn't be in. They're in lifestyles they shouldn't be in. But here they are weeping at an altar because of a message that has essentially told them, you need to turn from your sin and you need to turn to God for mercy. And the two are not incompatible with each other. So thank God.
Yeah.
Christ spoke the truth and yet was filled with compassion. I always find it interesting that the sinners seemed to be comfortable in his presence and the religious weren't comfortable.
Yeah.
That to me says a lot about what self-righteousness can begin to do to a people.
I want to jump, before we run out of time, I want to jump back to the macro. We've been talking about the micro. We're talking about the personal aspects of this. But you started by talking about the moment that is here for America, that this is a message to America.
Yes.
What do you think the future holds for our country?
In the future, we have been given about another few years of an opportunity for mercy. The mercy is in the Word of God. The prophet Daniel saw it. He was searching the scriptures, and he saw the mercy that was there. And the scripture says he went three times a day and opened his window towards Jerusalem. He saw something in the Word of God. He said, God, you told us that if we were taken captive and we looked back to this place where you said your heart and your eyes would be there perpetually in that place of prayer, that even if we were taken captive, you would bring us home again. And Daniel saw the window. And I'm hoping with all my heart that people of our time who know Christ are seeing the window ahead of us and will take seriously the admonition to begin to pray. And I would encourage people, if you can't pray alone, pray with friends. I prayed this morning from 6 to 7. I do most mornings with about seven men that I trust with my life. Men of faith, and we teleconference and we pray together every morning. And we turn again, even today, we're asking God to have mercy on this nation, have mercy on our cities. Oh God, have mercy on us. And I believe, because I see clearly mercy is the heart of the scripture, that we can experience a moment of spiritual awakening in the nation if we can seize this moment.
And that is what we should be praying about as we move into 2018, praying for our nation, praying for God's mercy, and that it will be embraced from coast to coast in America, and that the church would begin to live out the gospel as it was intended. Pastor Conlon, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Tony. God bless you.
Well, folks, I encourage you to check out the website, tonyperkins.com. Follow the links over. Carter is doing remarkable work. I have him almost every one of our pastors' conferences, our Watchmen on the Wall conferences, because the message that he is carrying and coming in behind David Wilkerson with that prophetic voice. And he's one of my favorite pastors in the nation, Carter Conlon. He's got several books, but he's living it out, and they're serving other churches. It's just a remarkable story. And so anyway, check out the website, tonyperkins.com. Follow the links over. All right, we're out of time for today, folks, but I want to thank you for joining us. And again, check out the website. And if you'd like to partner with us, you can do so at the website, tonyperkins.com. Give us a call, 800-225-4008, 225-4008. Folks standing by to take your call. Until next time, I leave you once again with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians chapter 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit tonyperkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.